With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live.
Ladies and gentlemen,
today's news talk.
News and information.
TNT Radio.
Okay, you were listening to the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio, and now it's the Steve Hook and Brian McClain, a.k.a. Hesher Show on TNT Radio. We welcome Hesher to the air. Hello, brother. Happy Halloween to you. How are you, man?
Oh, spooky. Yeah, very spooky out today in the headlines. All very spooky. I heard what you and Ruckus were talking about in your hour. Very spooky. And the concept of governments, a cancer industrial complex. You know, we have all these industrial complexes, and we talk about the pandemic industrial complex that arose to a red carpet and, you know, billions of our dollars and millions of human lives. And they, you know, they, capital T-H-E-Y, think they can get away with just creating another industrial complex that feeds itself on the death of humans who don't know any better than to submit themselves to it. So, yeah, that was a great conversation.
Yeah, Charlene is great and her husband's great, too. And, you know, I mean, I personally know a couple of doctors, and you talk to them about homeopathic therapies and stuff. And most of them, if they're honest, will say, oh, yeah, try it for sure. Try it. They don't warn you off of it. But some of them, big moneyed interest, have no reason to even mention homeopathic therapy and vitamin therapy and other things that you could try before you submit to, I lost my mother to cancer, bro. Just a personal anecdote. Just about everybody in this audience knows somebody who has died from cancer. And I think that Charlene and Ty Bollinger are doing wonderful work. And, you know, she was talking about the Smith-Mundt Act and the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. And we were talking about this the other day, you and I were, about how it's essentially gives the media the free rein to tell untruths that the government considers, well, it may not be technically true, may not be 100% legit, but it's going to be for the good of everyone. And then when you look this stuff up on Snopes or factchecker.com and stuff, it always says, this isn't true. And then you drill down into it and you realize, oh, wait a minute, it is true. So when I said to you off air, I mean it. Who fact checks the fact checkers, Hesher?
The fact checkers are just more propagandists working in the background there, you know, and you know, all we have to do is look back at Project Mockingbird, Project Northwoods, Gladio, and we see this over and over again, these kind of things happening even before the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. And the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act simply made it such that they could set up little catch-alls like NewsGuard and fact checkers and Snopes and all this. I mean, Snopes was basically a failed prostitute and pimp with a bunch of cats in a trailer. And then they started getting money from the government to tell, you know, half truths and turn lies into half truths and turn truths into half lies. And it's an absolute melee. And at the very tippy top of this thing, or somewhere near the top of that pyramid of disinformation, is the CIA. Flat out, yeah. You know, why would one of our security services be telling our social media and our mainstream media how to lie to us, how to spin to us? I mean, it's absurd.
Yeah, it is absurd. And as I was talking with Charlene, if there could be a silver lining in the whole COVID experience that we all collectively dealt with together. You need the mask. You don't need the mask. You do not. You know what? You do need the mask. In fact, you need two masks. Oh, no. You know what? No, the mask don't work. Try three masks and maybe a face covering. Oh, and get your booster. And once we all started to kind of see through that facade, which is what it was, it just makes you question everything. And I don't think that, you know, that's kind of a paranoid place to live, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it absolutely is. But, you know, when you've got enough evidence, it's not really paranoia, is it? It's like, okay, we've been lied to about Trump, Russia. We were lied to about Trump. We've been lied to about J6. We're lied to about JFK, lied to about 9/11, in my opinion. And a number of other huge, huge things that have shaped our future, you know, our path as a people,
our social collective consciousness. I agree. I do think that there's some stuff that's a little bit still tinfoil hatty, but I think that anybody would admit to that. But and this is what I mentioned to Charlene, and you and I have kind of touched on it before. Once the lie of COVID was revealed, and really, if we're honest, the lie of the cover up of COVID, the lie of the source of COVID, the lie of the funding of what went, you know, what Fauci was funding with the National Institutes of Health. Once that the cows left the barn on that story, everything else has been now a shadow has been cast on everything. And this is a great way to get the collective citizenry to start doubting everything they're being told. Not a good place for any government to be in, and self-inflicted in this particular case.
Right. And you're changing journalistic science. You're changing scientific method. You're changing the medical paradigm. You're changing literally everything on the fly, changing definitions of words like the very word vaccine itself. And all the while changing culture out from under you too, radicalizing young people and people that are unstable against the nation and the tenets and the founding principles and the law of the land. So that's all going on in the background while trying to push a race war, while trying to push international wars, while destroying our economy. I mean, it is a perfect SH, you know what, storm for the American people and for all the people of the West, Steve. But let me get this in here so we can get our guest. We do have the inaugural Conference of Australians for Science and Freedom, and it's going to bring together thinkers and community leaders to share learnings, formulate plans, and help establish new and emerging networks and organizations to restore a thriving Australian society founded on science and freedom. So this is big for our brothers and sisters down under. Join the exciting lineup of health professionals, scientists, economists, lawyers, journalists and community leaders to discuss a range of hot issues, including healthcare policy, democracy, human rights, education, the media, and the role of very important grassroots organizations. The Australians for Science and Freedom Conference will be held at the University of New South Wales, High Street, Kensington, New South Wales, from 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, the 18th of November, and 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday, the 19th of November. Plus, TNT Radio will be broadcasting from the conference. Tickets are available now at scienceandfreedom.org. And of course, if you're enjoying listening to TNT Radio and you think we're doing a good job, why not let us know? Leave us a like or a positive review or a comment on Facebook, Gab, or Gitter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Your trusted news source.
We stick to the facts.
This is today's news talk radio, TNT.
All right, Steve.
I'll tell you what, Hesher. I just think it's wonderful that we're getting Z because this, and we were talking about it off air, this is deja vu all over again for her, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, I mean, imagine being a young Chinese girl and all of a sudden you get Mao come in and Mao is promising, oh, it's the People's Revolution. Oh, this is going to be wonderful. It's always the People's Revolution, isn't it? It's always for the people. We know what's best for the people. Boy, we're starting to see that here in a big way. We've kind of been touching on that kind of around about it on my show with Charlene Bollinger. And here we are again. I'm sure that this is very reminiscent of what she went through as when she left China. Just absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Her story is very interesting, and she always brings great commentary as far as what's going on currently. So I'm excited to speak with her. You know, but going back to this COVID thing real quick here, Steve. There's an interesting piece of content here. It is a piece of sponsored content. I will note that because they are talking about their essential COVID treatments. So I don't necessarily know what to say about that, but here's what they're saying. This is the important part. We're all aware that the FDA has overstepped its authority in the past, especially during the pandemic fiasco. What you might not know is that last year, three doctors sued the FDA for that very reason, but the courts were not on their side until now. So the Fifth Circuit Appeals Court ruled that the lower court's decision to stop the lawsuit was bogus and it can continue instead. So here's a quote. FDA is not a physician. It has authority to inform, announce, and apprise, but not to endorse, denounce, or advise. This is a quote from Judge Don Willett, who wrote for the appeals court. I also said, the doctors have plausibly alleged that the FDA's posts fell on the wrong side of the line between telling about and telling to. And then one more thing here, because this dovetails with what we were just talking about. It gets worse. The FDA promoted outright propaganda in their war against ivermectin, a proven and effective treatment, by comparing American citizens to animals. Some of their campaigns outright said, are not a horse.
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember, you'll remember Joe Rogan came under withering assault because of that. So much so that Neil Young pulled all of his music from Spotify because I can't have this guy. And they made all jokes about him. And, you know, he's a quarter horse or whatever. Ivermectin cost pennies on the dollar. The U.S. government paid billions of dollars for these vaxes. And by God, we're not going to let you treat it with something cheap. So it's just such a crying shame. And as I mentioned to Charlene, and you and I have discussed it too, Hesh, this undermines not only their authority, but it undermines their credibility to a degree that I think that Fauci should be criminally liable for, because there's, you know damn good and well, brother, at some point something's going to come down the pike and good doctors are going to come up with good solutions, and those solutions are going to be ignored by a lot of people because they don't trust them anymore. And they can only thank themselves for that, the FDA and the NIH and all the rest.
Yeah, well, that's the important message there that Charlene brings. You know, that's part of it that her and others bring, and many of us here at TNT bring. It's that, and they don't just make an industrial complex for something over an oopsie. You know, this isn't the reaction to a natural problem. This is something that was obviously pre-planned. All you have to do is follow the money and follow the media, and you realize, oh, okay, this was
a lot of money to follow too. It's a lot of money to follow too. Shut up, son. Yeah. We're counting our cash.
Yeah. I mean, how disingenuous is that, Steve, for the Pentagon and the United States and NIH to be funding over 26 bioresearch laboratories in over 13 countries, have that whole money trail there, and then have this happen, and then tell us, oh yes, apparently a pangolin had sex with a bat, and then they made some chimera and somebody ate it in a wet market, and this particle, this tiny particle made its way around the planet in 6 weeks. Okay, and now that's been completely debunked. And, you know, but the point is, they will do another one. They do have an industrial complex for it. They are making mRNA for everything under the sun to include unknown disease X, unknown virus X. And that should be a huge red flag to all of humanity.
Exactly right. And that's why I said to her, and I mentioned to you earlier, if there is a silver lining, it's that they've shown that, you know, they've shown their leg a little bit here. You know, we can kind of see the man. If we can't see fully the man behind the curtain, we certainly do get a good look at his ankles and calves. We can see it. And I do think that ultimately will be the only real good that came out of all of the scandal here. Nobody wants to see a lot of people die, obviously, but you keep using the term industrial complex, and I get it. I certainly do get it. But, you know, it wasn't just Joe Rogan on Spotify. The first person that really started to try and call this crap out was none other than Rand Paul. And he was right all along. Sometimes just for fun, I go through and I watch some of those Rand Paul Fauci contentious back and forth. And it turns out that Rand Paul had him nailed from day one. He was right all along. Fauci should be in prison right now.
Yeah, unfortunately, he'll probably get a job at CNN instead and just continue to hang his medals on the wall over there. It's really ridiculous. I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous, the whole thing, Steve. But hey, I believe our guest is standing by, so let's take a moment here with today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
You should hear what Alan Miller is talking about.
I think it's important not to project an idea on something that doesn't exist. So if people actually declare that they're not into national liberation and they're not into the freedom of a nation state and they just want destruction, you should pretty much believe them. I don't think that if someone's a Democrat and a freedom fighter, the idea of just destroying a whole group of people is anything beyond just that. And people that have been to festivals, as many of us all have, getting mowed down, is certainly nothing to do with freedom and liberation of people, children, and many others. Obviously, at the same time, there's huge concern now about what's happening in Gaza, as there should be. And it's possible to hold a number of views at the same time about the fact that people should be free and people should have national independence and liberties and privacy and rights. And that should be discussed openly. It's also very concerning that both in France and now in Britain, the idea of silencing people who've got ideas, not actions, but ideas, whether they're waving flags or saying things, should somehow be prevented from doing that.
Alan Miller and today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Unbiased information.
Honest and forthright.
News without the misinformation.
It doesn't matter what side you're from. What matters is what you say, the truthfulness behind it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Where does the cultural warfare come from? I mean, obviously, our colleges are a big perpetrator. And many would say that many of our middle schools and elementary schools are also programming young people into something similar that we've seen in past, in the past, in Mao's Cultural Revolution. And I think that is highly affecting our nation, our nation's ability to bring context to current events, which is a big, big problem that Steve and I were talking about. And we're joined right now by the author of Mao's America, A Survivor's Warning, Zee Van Fleet. It's great to see you. Thank you for joining Steve and I here. Where are you seeing parallels right now that you talk about in your book and that you experienced in your youth?
Oh, there's a lot of them, but I think the most important one is the indoctrination. The indoctrination of young people, of children, and I was one of them. So I lived through it. And I see the same thing happening here. That's actually what motivated me to go to the school board. That's 2021 in Loudoun County. And I had I delivered less than a 1 minute speech because we're only gave 1 minute. And so I compared the pushing of CRT. It's basically identity politics and the divisive identity politics in school to Cultural Revolution. In the Cultural Revolution, it's exactly the same thing. And people were identified as the allies of the communists or the enemy. And there's no middle ground. It's either you are with us or you are against us. And anything identified as enemy, they are just not human. And anything that we do or anything that has done to them is justified, including killing and raping and kidnapping and whatever, just like what we see on the street today or on campuses today, the indoctrinated youth support terrorism.
Zee, thank you. Steve Hook here. And I'm so happy to have you on the show today to discuss this because, one of the things that I've noticed about this indoctrination, and you're right, it started. CRT is obviously one of the things that was big. The whole transgender movement all of a sudden blew up out of nowhere. One day where everybody's fine, the next day we've got 86 different genders, and if you don't agree with that, you're a transphobe. And it all started to kind of smack of artificial to me, as if it was being promoted. Yes. And now we're seeing it even now with what's going on. And this isn't about whether you agree with what's going on in Israel or not, but it does have something to do with this crazy notion of intersectionality. When yes. you see kids marching on campus at Cornell or Columbia with rainbow flags saying LGBTQ for free Palestine, and you know those same people, if they lived in Gaza, if they lived in Tehran and they tried that mm-hmm. stuff, they'd be thrown off a building. So yes. where does this whole intersectionality thing is that all Marxism as well that you're seeing?
Absolutely. And that's what I lived through. Okay. So everything we've seen and all the things you talk about is because it's all from the same operating system. And that's the oppressor versus oppressed. And that is always how Marxists divide people. Okay, so in China, and we all look alike with the same people, same language, same culture. And how do you divide people? And by class. So the wealthy were the problem. They were the oppressors. And then the rest are the oppressed. So as soon as the communists took over in 1949, they divided China into two classes, red versus black. Red, good. Black, bad. And so this is an identity that you carry with you, and this is like a part of yourself. You have to, when you fill out a government document, you have to fill out that which class you belong to. Once wow. you become the black class, you humanity is taken away from you. You are second class citizens, or not even a citizen. You're basically dehumanized. Your kids, and you pass it on to your kids. And your kids' kids. And once you ended up in the black class, you could not go to college. You could not get a good job. You could not see hope for yourself because you are the enemy of the state. During the Cultural Revolution, they carried even further. Anyone who Mao did not like end up in the black class. And anything that the Red Guards did to you, justified. No problem. Including killing. And so that is, you can see that is a system, the operating system does not need any thinking, right?
Yeah.
It's just, you don't need black and white, okay? I call it black-white thinking, but you don't even need thinking. As long as a group of people are deemed as the black class, you can do anything. Millions were killed by the Red Guards, just like that. And you say the Red Guards are monsters. Yeah, they were your neighbors. They were your own kids. The kids turned against their parents because the parents were identified as the black class. And that's how communists operate.
So
we see exactly the same thing.
What we see here in the United States is elements of our own government classifying U.S. citizens, especially conservatives, as potential domestic terrorists. We see all these outputs from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The mass media cartel does its best to amplify this this narrative. And most of us Americans don't see that. We don't see gangs of white supremacists running around. We don't see them having effective roles in policy or politics or anything like this. Yet there is this general shadow that sort of is kind of like Trump's shadow cast upon everybody like that. Can you speak to that aspect of what we're seeing here from our own government and media?
Yeah, that's not just exactly you mentioned the media. It's the government, the institution, every institution nowadays implemented the DEI. They're doing the same thing. So you're either with us or you're against us. And all those labels, you know, extremist, terrorist, bigot, racist, or whatever, it's just simply put you in the black class. The black class were the oppressors, the bad ones. And that's exactly what's happening here. In China, it's kind of in a way, it's simpler. It's originated just with class. Eventually they add other things. But here, the class would not work because we have a large, used to be at least middle class. So they have to go to gender, right? The first is the feminists. and then turned women against men, and then race turned people of color against white, and then they have to expand the identity politics, because eventually they want everyone had identity against everyone else. That's how you control people. That's exactly what the CCP and the Mao did in China. So Xi Jinping, everyone knows that he is today's dictator of China, but his father was purged in the early 1960s. And that put him in the category of black class. And that put his whole family in the category of black class. His family was really suffered a great deal. His half-sister committed suicide because of the persecution. And then turn around. And now that he is okay, his family is okay, and he will do the same to the others. And that is the problem with communism. It's always remember, there's always a group of people against another. And they switch. And then they go on and on. Eventually, everyone will be the victim. Today, in America, it's mostly conservative, right? Conservative and a white conservative, especially white male, especially white Christian, especially, you know. But eventually, this is going to be everyone. Everyone eventually will become the victim of this hate, of this political identity.
Yes, yes. And this is outlined very well in your book, Mao's America, A Survivor's Warning. And you're right, we do use the identity politics here. And that's why I think everything has been turned political. Things that shouldn't be political and weren't political 10 years ago are now matters of politics. We'll ask you a little bit to expand on that after this brief headline with today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
This news just in, TNT Radio News.
Ready? Go, go, go.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines.
Protesters caused chaos in Congress on Tuesday by demanding a ceasefire in Gaza and calling for the U.S. to stop supporting genocide. Demonstrators called Secretary of State Antony Blinken a murderer who has blood on his hands during the tense start to his testimony to the Senate Appropriations Committee. Members of the Jewish community in London have been forced to lift security at synagogues, schools, and other community buildings in the wake of the Hamas terrorist attack on Israel.
Do you have a suggestion for a possible guest you'd like to hear on TNT Radio?
Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss?
Then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
So Z, what do you think about that? That just how so many things have become political. Like, I mean, we could look at what happened during the COVID era and say, wow, that looked very political when it should have been about human health.
Well, that's communism. That's when you understand that, everything is easier to understand, because what's going on in America is communist takeover. Absolutely communist takeover. I never shy away from saying that. When I started my activism and I was advised, don't use the word communism. Nobody will believe you. But now you see more and more people believe me, and more people see with their own eye. It is a communist takeover. Everything has to be political size, because everything to them is a target to achieve their goal. If these people, divide them. If it's an issue, politicize it. So the goal is to get people hate each other, get people fight each other, family falling apart, community falling apart. That's what they want to see. And that's what's really happening. And that's how they control us.
And when they do this, I guess the motivation behind that is divide and conquer, essentially. I mean, if we're gonna put it in a nutshell. And they do tend to eat themselves, don't they, G? I mean, you mentioned
they do. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about, like, for example, feminism. Here's a perfect example of that. You have the author J.K. Rowling coming out against, you know, saying, hey, I believe that women are a thing. She's an avowed feminist, has been for a long time. And with her backstory, it's easy to understand why. She was in an abusive relationship. We don't need to go through the whole thing. But she came out speaking to the power of womanhood. And all of a sudden, the intersectional crowd got Yeah. Now she's a bigot. Now she's a Martina Navratilova, the great tennis, the tennis great, who came out, openly came out as lesbian and said, I support the LGBT or I support the LGB, but come on, let's get enough of the, we've had enough of the T's. They're not women and blah, blah, blah. And now she's a racist homophobe. It's just so absurd.
I can tell you this. I can tell you endless stories like this. They eat their own. They eventually will eat every one of themselves. Okay, it started during the Cultural Revolution, Mao depended on the Red Guards to do the job, right? The Red Guard canceled everything, destroyed everything, took everything in power out. And so that's what we really Mao wanted, to take out power. And then what did they do? By the time they took power off all those from the hands of the authority, they thought that's their time to share power. No way. They're just useful idiots. So Mao exiled them, got rid of them, sent them to virgin land to cultivate. And that's
Stalin did the same thing.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So
exactly.
So what happened in China to the people that were what we would call moderate here, or maybe apolitical, because there's so many people in this country that do not find themselves agreeing with the extreme right or the extreme left. And there's so many people that are sort of apolitical or just don't really are burned out on politics or don't follow it. Was it like that in China too? And what happened to that sort of common sense crowd that was in the middle?
No, there's no common sense. There's no middle ground. You're either with them or you're against them. Even if you don't show enough enthusiasm, that was kind of regarded as a resistance.
And that's kind of why we see whenever, like, for example, in North Korea, whenever Kim walks onto the stage, God, they can't clap hard enough for that guy. They're kowtowing.
The first one to stop. Yeah, they will be the first one in trouble. Yeah.
So nobody wants to stop. Everybody's looking around going, who's going to stop this thing?
Exactly.
That's pretty scary. Let me ask you this. Are we seeing this now? We're obviously talking about what we're seeing here in the States, but we can expand this out now. Let's go to the, people like Klaus Schwab and people that are trying to globalize everything. Are we seeing it there too? The crowd that says you'll own nothing and be happy. The international monetary, these groups, are they part of this, what I consider a racket?
That is a big question. I do think that they like the so-called China model. They are drawing for wanting that power like Xi Jinping has, like one person controls everything. And so I do think that they share the same desire for power. And then we talk about a lot of things, but why they're doing all this craziness? It's power. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's exactly what the World Economic Forum seems to be about.
Exactly.
Power.
Yeah. Yeah. They're definitely the beneficiaries of changes like that if they're not involved in it, even though if you read Schwab's book, I mean, it sounds like they have a lot of benefit to take out of
control.
This,
control everything, control where you live and what whether you can drive a car, you own this or that. They really want you to own nothing and be happy. And that's what happened in Mao's China. We had nothing and we have to pretend we are happy. And that's what's coming to our West.
Oh, boy. Are you like hopeful that it could be?
Yeah, you have to pretend to be happy. If you showed that you're not happy with what's going on, you are counter-revolutionary, and then you might be jailed. And so everyone, should be happy. And we had nothing. We're starving, but we're happy, just like North Korea. And isn't that alarming that we hear this saying out loud in the West?
Yes.
You're going to own nothing, and you're going to be happy. I was there and I was very unhappy, but I dare not to show. So we have to stop this. This is absolutely communist takeover, not about just America, but the West. But America, of course, is the crown jewel of this whole thing. They have to take down America first. And once that America is down, everything just fell.
Yeah, America's the biggest domino. And once we fall, so everything. Goes the West.
Yeah. And then someone, I thought it was kind of really funny. Someone said, I'm down with the United States. I'm going to Switzerland. I said, good luck.
Yeah. They must not know how Switzerland behaved during COVID because that was pretty bananas.
But also, you know, you think that Switzerland can be on its own when everything else around it fell?
Yeah, Davos, they meet in Davos for a reason. I wouldn't expect that place is okay. All right, Z Van Fleet, we're just about out of time. I'll remind you, Mao's America, A Survivor's Warning is the book. We highly recommend that you get it and arm yourself with some facts and some interesting things that you can share with others who might benefit from reading it as well. Z, any final thoughts before we have to let you go?
History. When people know history, they understand what's going on. So my book is really help people to understand what's going on in America today is nothing new. It happened before and happened to me. And it's not that long ago, it's 50 years ago. Know history and then we will understand. People will understand what's really going on today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Z. Thank you so much. Real pleasure.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Z Van Fleet, thank you for joining us. Mao's America, Survivor's Warning. Find Z right here with Steve and I on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
The Great Reset is here. Banks now canceling customers for their stance on climate change.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Former EU Parliament member Nigel Farage got debanked due to his skeptical stance on global warming. Here is Nigel Farage explaining.
But one of the key reasons I was debanked was over climate change, where they make it absolutely clear. A particular area to consider is NF's stance on climate change. It does not align with the bank's purpose.
Yes, you heard that right. UK's NatWest Bank even was forced to provide the documentation under Freedom of Information Act. This follows the debanking of Trump advisor General Flynn, as well as Candace Owens being refused treatment at a COVID health center because of her views on lockdowns. The Great Reset is here to deperson you and strip away your rights. This is the Great Reset happening here now, not some future that may, might, could happen, but it's reality. And the forces of the Great Reset want to add central bank digital currency on top of the controls they already have. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
She used to dance and dream of a better life, a brighter future. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, she dances for the world. Together, we give children in poverty a chance to set their sights high and achieve their dreams. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
And now a news update. The president's doctor has confirmed that the president is suffering from gastric distress. Apparently, he can't stop Putin.
You're stupid.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Come on, you guys, you can't do that to me. I'll come in laughing every time. All right. Yes. So we're about to be joined by a Navy Special Operations veteran. He was a Navy deep sea diver and salvor. He recently ran for Congress in Virginia's 10th Congressional District. He's got an illustrious career here, including so many things I could say, but including this is pretty interesting, recovering the wreckage of JFK Jr.'s plane off Martha's Vineyard and parts of the USS Monitor off Cape Hatteras. I don't know if I pronounced that right.
Hatteras.
Thank you. Joining us now is Captain Hung Cao. Hung, it's great to have you with Steve and I. We understand that you're challenging Senator Tim Kaine in Virginia. Are you continuing this? Is this still ongoing? Are you up for 24?
Yes, it's we're 3 months into this, and we've garnered so much momentum behind us. I mean, the reason why we did this is because we moved this very blue, very suburban district in Northern Virginia, the infamous Loudoun County, as we talked about before the show. And I moved at 13%. So Joe Biden won this by 19 points, and I lost by 6 points. And so people are looking at this going, hey, if you're able to do it this well just in Northern Virginia, Southern Virginia is going to come out for you. And if that's the case, then you've already won by 10 points, because this is a D plus three. That means it's the Cook analysis is that it's a Democrat leaning 3%, which means if I can move the needle 13%, then we've already won.
Yeah, you're already 10 points up, essentially.
Yeah, theoretically, well, if people turn up, right? People have to be ticked off enough to show up and vote.
Are the people still ticked off?
We're happy to help you get people ticked off. So what are they ticked off about?
Well, first of all, the biggest thing here is parents' right, right? I mean, you have schools who would turn parents into domestic terrorists, go after them. They want to change the kid's gender without telling the parents. I mean, it's just ludicrous in this day and age that my rights as a parent is being challenged by some 25-year-old teacher who thinks they know better than me for my children. The next thing is inflation. I mean, we're all hurting over here. Gas, I was just in California last week. Gas is $7 a gallon out there. Out here, it's about $4 a gallon. You know, everything from the price of eggs to just meat and everything else is so high, and we can't afford it. We're dipping into our savings just to feed our family. And that's what's making them mad. But right now, we're literally on the brink of World War III.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not kidding. Well, we saw what happened in Virginia with Youngkin, and it was the grand reawakening of the people of Virginia. I remember when Virginia was solid red, and then I remember it turning kind of magenta and then going full-blown blue. And then after the school board stepped into it, in Loudoun County specifically and other counties around Northern Virginia, Glenn Youngkin ran on that, and parents turned up in big time. I mean, they really turned up and flipped that state. Northam is gone, and what's his name, McAuliffe, never had a chance, especially when he said, yeah, teachers know more than parents do. That was one of the biggest bonehead blunders I've ever seen. But you're still running on that, and parents are still very concerned about what is being poured into their kids' heads in school, huh?
They're doubling down on this, and I don't understand. At some point, they have to understand that, you know, when you put yourself between a mother and their child, or a mother and or father and their child, then you've really crossed the Rubicon at that point. You've gone from stupid to just insane.
Yeah, you can't do that to the mama bears. I mean, how many? I'm curious. This may not be an answerable question, but I always wonder, like, how many people without children are on some of these boards making these decisions? You know, how many, you know, single purple haired librarians are there making these policies, and how many are actually like heads of a family, a mom or a dad?
Oh, I don't know the statistics on that, but I did remember meeting a lady on the campaign trail. She's a teacher, and she's like, are you anti-teacher? I'm like, absolutely not. She's like, well, she started going to her diatribe about how she has an obligation to protect a child from their parent in case their parent's not accepting. And she's no young buck. She's my age. She's in her 50s. And you're looking at her like, what makes you think you know better than this parent's child, this child's parent? I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, it really is. And it's insane because it's not like if a teacher came to me and said, look, I know algebra 2 better than you do, I'd say, yeah, you know what? You're right. You certainly probably do. But if
that's not true for me, because I'm Asian.
You said it, not me. But the point is, if a teacher comes to me and says, we know that critical race theory is smart and your child needs to know it, or we know, proper use of pronouns. Well, now you're way off the reservation. And that's what happened in Virginia. And God bless Glenn Youngkin for recognizing and jumping on board. What's your position on, say, for example, school choice?
I mean, I homeschool my children for that same reason, because I can't have someone, you know, telling my kids what to believe in. But most importantly, they need to be learning reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's what's going to get them out of poverty. That's what's going to get them going in life. We can't be teaching this other garbage when kids are failing in all aspects of education, lowest ACT scores in history because of all this this wokeness. And so we need to bring the rights back to the parents. And then the other thing with Virginia is that we want to feel safe, right? I mean, from our streets all the way to the border. I mean, there's an invasion going on in the southern border by military-age males from countries like China, Yemen, Somalia, Iran. And you and I both know, you know, geography, and none of that is in the southern border.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now you've served with special operations in Afghanistan, and you're also, it's my understanding that you, as a youth, were a refugee from communist Vietnam. Your family escaped in 1975 before the fall of Saigon, you know, and we were just talking with Xi Van Fleet. And, you know, I'm curious, do you have anything that you were obviously pretty young when you left there? But what's your main takeaway when you compare, you know, Mao's China or communist Vietnam with what we're seeing here in America right now?
Look, it's pretty scary. They're turning this country into what I ran away from. And in special operations, I've been all over the world, 40 different countries. I fought in Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia. And I'm telling you right now, if America falls, there's nowhere else for us to run to. This is the Alamo. And if the Alamo falls, there's nowhere else for us to go. So we have to fight. We have to fight right now. People have to get mad enough to say, you know, enough is enough. We have to protect this country. We need to educate our children, and we need to make America strong.
You must be petrified by what you see happening on college campuses right now, because this kind of brings it, kind of closes the circle, doesn't it? It starts in the public school, and in these public schools, I mean, you know, Hesher and I were talking earlier, Hung, about some of the, if we're looking for silver linings here with regards to the COVID lockdowns and all of that, one of them that I didn't mention before, but I think it's certainly a silver lining, parents started seeing what their kids were learning in public school, and it not only frightened them, it angered them. And they're, and now all of a sudden, these same parents are starting to see what's happening on college campuses due to all of these protests. And it's just, it's a cultural revolution all over again. How do we get these kids out of this mindset? How do we turn this thing around?
Well, first of all, pull your kids out of the schools. I mean, that's the first and foremost. You know, you don't leave them in there in the lion's den wearing a pork chop jacket, right? They're going to get eaten alive. And so we need to educate our kids the right way, send them to a different path. I mean, for crying out loud, education in university is not as important as knowing a skill. Send them to learn a vocational skill. I mean, we can rebuild this country a lot better than the liberals want to do it. But I'm telling you right now, I can't believe in this day and age we would actually have students screaming death to Jews and praise Hamas. I mean, I've never thought in my lifetime I'd see this in the United States, and it's a very scary, scary thing.
Yeah,
I like what you said about pulling your kids out of school. I mean, at this point, it's no shock to me that we've got young people that are radicalized and confused or completely programmed with identity politics, toxic identity politics. I mean, what do you think? Okay, so if you get into government, I'm trying to think of the most succinct way to say this. I'll give you an example. I was listening to a Twitter space the other day, and one of the representatives, Steve, what's the representative's name that we kind of clown on from New York, the gay guy? I forget his name right now.
Well, I don't know. The gay guy, I don't know. There's a lot of them in New York that I would rip on.
The gay Republican young guy who's one of the representatives now.
Oh God, I
that's George it. Santos. You don't mean
Santos? George Santos. Thank you. Thank you.
I didn't know Santos was gay. So there you go. I didn't know he was gay. Yeah.
So but, I was listening to
George Santos.
I hope he is, and I didn't just miss whatever him. But anyway,
you outed him.
Anyways, he was getting grilled by Laura Loomer, you know, and people have various opinions on her that are probably all valid in some way, shape, or form. But he was getting grilled by her about why Congress can't get anything done. And he basically, he kind of, in a moment of clarity, he said, "You don't know what we go through here." He said, "You've been a staffer, but you have not been in these seats." And he said, "Maybe someday you will get elected, but it's horrible." I'm quoting him. He said, "It's horrendous here." And he was talking about all of the influences and the things that people on Capitol Hill come up against when they want to get something done that means something to their constituents. What do you think about that? Like, are you ready to get in there and you know, fight it out for your constituents? Because it does sound like, you know, you're in for a mosh pit there.
Oh, it is. I mean, I wish it was a mosh pit. You know, I wish it was like the octagon, you know, like 435 people go in and one person comes out. You know,
Thunderdome.
In fact, I would love to go against Fetterman. It'll be like David versus Goliath. But no, but honestly, it's about, if you can't, don't expect to do whole victories, right? You win incrementally, one inch at a time. And this is, honestly, this is why you need term limits. If you get in there and you have a finite amount of time to do things, you just concentrate on like your four or five hot topic items and you fight for those. And then you hand it off to the next person and they have their own priorities. You know, you put people in there for 50 years. First of all, they're dumber than the day they came in, Joe Biden, right? But then but they don't get anything done because they're so used to just the status quo. And that's the problem. It's like, they're like, well, this is how it's always been done. No, then that's the wrong answer. Let's see what we can move forward, right? And this is why you need fresh blood in there.
It sounds like what you're prescribing here is the old, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? You've got to incrementally change the way the system works. And it can't be done by just Senator Hung Cao. It's got to be done by you can get the ball rolling, and then the next guy and the next gal continues rolling the ball. Let me ask you this, Hung. What do you think about the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson? Because he wasn't newly minted Speaker for 24 hours before he was taking it from both sides. People are going to rip him, saying, "Oh, he supports this, he doesn't support that." But I think he's going to do a pretty good job. What do you think about what's going on over there?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I didn't realize Kevin McCarthy could have gotten so many things done also, you know, so
yeah,
give person a chance, let them go in there and do their thing. And here's people just expect somebody to meet all of their needs. You know, I mean, I've been married for 25 years. I love this woman to death, but you know, I can't please her all the time. Only 99% of the time when I say yes, ma'am. So likewise with anybody in position leadership, you're not going to please everybody all the time. You do what you're bound to do. You stay within the Constitution and you do the best you can. And like I said, then you hand it off to the next guy and they keep moving forward. But if you keep pushing the baton back and forth, like Nancy Pelosi's had it for how many times now? And she still screwed it all up.
Yeah. She helped divide it more than it's ever been divided before, I would say. Except for her own caucus. She's very good at keeping them in lockstep. They tend to march to the same tune, but not so much with Republicans. So you must be looking forward to have you got any debates set up with Tim Kaine yet, or how's that coming along?
No, we still have a primary because, you know, there's still a lot of these perennial guys who just decide they're going to throw their name in the hat. Perennial. Although, you know, I'm so... No, they run for everything under the moon. They're like, oh, I watch TV. I surfed the web once. I know how to run for office. And so they put themselves in there and, you know, they have no idea what they're doing. I mean, I'm not trying to talk bad about them. I mean, a lot of them have very goals. It's just, you know, I'm so far ahead right now that it's Tim Kaine's already coming after me hard. I mean, if people ask me about Tim Kaine, they're like, oh, he's been embedded for so long. You're like, it doesn't matter. The guy never won an election on his own. He had to be pulled up by the bootstraps every single time. And in 2008, he was supposed to be Barack Obama's running mate. But he was so terrible as a governor that they passed him over for Joe Biden. I need for that to – no, let that sink in, right? Wow. How horrible do you have to be to be passed over for Joe Biden? That's how bad he blew it.
And you know what though, Hung? He did have Obama's coattails to ride into the senatorial gig with. He had coattails. Biden doesn't have any coattails. I don't know that he's even wearing a coat. I mean, I don't know who's going to help old Tim Kaine out from here. I mean, it's because he certainly can't rely on the White House to come pull him out of the fire.
No, that's why he was going to retire this year. He was going to he was telling everybody, like people who know him personally said, oh, no, he was going to retire. But because they don't have a deep bench, Elaine Luria got kicked out of the Congress. Abigail Spanberger,
I hate to cut you off, but we're up against the end of the hour here. So thank you so much, Captain Hung Cao. We'll have you back on.